Good morning, Taylor family. Good morning. Can we just give God a hand clap this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So good morning and welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. Welcome to the Taylor family and all our friends joining through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, PA, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is the pastor. Amen. I am going to have a word of prayer, so I ask that you guys would bow your heads. I don't know if we stand, but, stand. Okay, I'm getting a signal to stand. And if you're at home, please bow your head. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this week. We thank you for keeping us another week, Lord Jesus. We thank you for being who you are, Lord. We just thank you for being so gracious, Lord. We thank you for being so kind. We thank you for being fair. We thank you for being just, Lord Jesus. We thank you for being in control, Lord Jesus. Even through this pandemic, we learned that you are still in control, Lord Jesus. When we think that we have control, we don't, Lord Jesus. We thank you for humbling us, Lord Jesus. We thank you for giving us peace, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for Women's Month and Women's History, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the way you have used women in the past. We thank you for the way you are using women now. And we thank you for the way that you will use women in the future, Lord Jesus. We ask that you continue to give us the strength to serve you, Lord Jesus. Continue to give us the strength to give your word, Lord Jesus, and bring people to Christ, Lord Jesus. Thy will be done in everything, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to read our scripture, which is Proverbs chapter 4, 5 through 9. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 through 9. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. So next, we will have a Women in History reading by our sister Lillian Davis. Say amen as she comes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. Gladys West, the next time you use GPS, make sure you thank Dr. West, the mathematician, and Virginia's native calculations and programming helped to make a GEOD, a mathematical model of the Earth's shape, which is the foundation of the GPS. In 1956, she was hired by the Naval Proving Ground, now the Naval Surface Warfare Center, to analyze satellite data, doing the calculations by hand until she got into computer programming. She later joined the CESAT project as a project manager, using satellite data to create a detailed model of Earth. This years-long research later led to the development of the GPS. Like Dr. Katherine Johnson, this hidden figures story only came to light in recent years with a 2018 Associated Press profile leading to an induction into the Air Force Space and Missile Pioneers Hall of Fame. Dr. West prefers to use a map and calculate her own way to her destination instead of using HEPS.
Thank you, Sister Lillian, for the Women in History. I don't know about you guys, but I've definitely been learning a few things with our readings each week. Maybe I should increase my history learning. So next we have on the program, we're going to have a special presentation come from our Miss Kimberly Young. Can we clap as she comes?
Good morning, everyone. Praise God. Good morning. In addition to Women's History Month, March is also Myeloma Awareness Month. So this morning, that's what I'm going to be presenting. First, I would like to thank Pastor Ford and First Lady for giving me this opportunity and this space to share about multiple myeloma. Today is a Myeloma Link Ministry Moment. And of course, my name is Kim Young. I'm a community outreach volunteer for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, also known as LLS. LLS is the largest nonprofit dedicated to eradicating blood cancers. LLS provides direct assistance to patients, supports scientific research towards a cure, and advocates for state and federal policies that benefit patients. So today I'm going to tell you about an important health issue that is especially important to African Americans, especially those age 50 and over. It's called multiple myeloma. Myeloma is a type of blood cancer. More specifically, myeloma is a cancer of one type of blood cancer, the type of cell that fights infection. Myeloma is not the same as melanoma, which we all know as a skin cancer, so we don't want you to get that confused. It's a multiple myeloma. Many new treatments are available to treat myeloma, and these treatments allow patients to enjoy good quality life for years. So the reason why we're bringing this to you is because it really affects our African American community. And African Americans are nearly twice as likely as whites to develop myeloma. And yet, we are less likely to access the state-of-the-art treatment. So that's why we're bringing this information to you. So let's talk about it. In the beginning stages of myeloma, some patients have no symptoms, no signs of the disease, and about 20% of myeloma patients, the cancer is detected before symptoms even appear. A diagnosis can be made by doing routine blood work, which would show up in your blood or in your urine. So it's important that we know these things. So let's go through some of the symptoms that you might experience if you should have multiple myeloma. One of them could be bone pain or fractures. Bone pain is the most common early symptom of myeloma. Most patients feel pain in their backs or in their ribs, but it can occur in a bone, in any part of your bones. The pain varies in intensity, and it is made worse by movement. Bones become very, very fragile, and they're frail enough to break in a minor fall or injury, or even during normal activities such as walking, lifting, coughing, or even sneezing. Another symptom could be feeling tired and weak, extremely tired and weak. And that's because it's due to a low blood cell count, which is also called anemia. Another symptom could be that you have a weakened immune system. And with that means you might get sick more often than normal. Myeloma patients experience repeated infections because they can't fight those invading viruses or bacteria that we just talked about. Other symptoms include numbness, tingling, burning, or pain in the hands or feet, increased thirst, urination, and constipation, and abnormal bleeding, headaches, chest pain, shortness of breath, or decreased alertness. Now, having these symptoms doesn't mean that you have multiple myeloma, but it's something that you need to pay attention to. So we ask that you seek your physician or your PCP And if you know someone that might be experiencing these symptoms, refer them, encourage them to seek their PCP or their doctor. What are some of the risk factors? Doctors don't know why some cells become myeloma cells and others don't. For most people who have myeloma, there aren't any obvious reasons why they develop the disease. So let's look at some of the factors that might make someone have multiple myeloma. One main thing is the race, as we just talked about. African Americans, blacks, are nearly twice as likely to develop multiple myeloma than our counterparts, white people. Age and sex play a part. Most people who develop myeloma are 50 years and older. More men than women develop myeloma. Your medical history plays a part. In particular, if you have a history of a condition called MGUS, which is an abnormal protein known as monoclonal protein or M protein in the blood, that can also be a factor. Obesity plays a part in those who might be at a higher risk of developing myeloma. So let's talk about who treats myeloma. We have hematologists and oncologists, and they're the folks that take care of the myeloma patients. Hematologists are specialists who study the blood disease, and oncologists are the doctors who treat the cancer. But there's still hope. There's treatment. There have been many important advancements in treatment, and the number of treatment options continues to increase. And the goals of research of myeloma is to make sure that we develop those new treatments, decrease the side effects, and then therefore we have that treatment that could potentially allow our African Americans to live a long, healthy life. Research has also shown that African Americans are less likely to be referred for clinical trials. So they develop clinical trials so that we can participate in that. And that's why we have LLS. LLS Society Clinical Trial Support Center can help you determine if a clinical trial is an option for you, or even if you've been diagnosed with a myeloma or any other blood cancer. And just know that treatment outcomes may differ from person to person. So what should you do at this point? Watch for signs and symptoms. Talk with your doctor about your signs and symptoms. And also you can learn more about myeloma by calling the Leukemia Lymphoma Society's information specialist, and we'll share that number later. But if you're listening and you're watching, you can dial 844-955-5465, or you can go to the website, which is www.lls.org/myeloma link, or send an email to myelomalink@lls.org. And I do appreciate this time and moment that you allowed me to speak about this. Have a great day.
Thank you, Sister Kimberly, for the education. Now, it's time for the word. If you're ready for the word, say amen. If you're ready for the word, say amen. Amen. I had a rough week, so I am looking forward to hearing the word today. Amen. So I present to you my favorite pastor, Pastor Jonathan E. Ford. Say amen as he comes.
Good morning, Taylor. Good morning, Taylor. Thanks, Shanita. It's been a good morning already. You may be seated. You may be seated. Thank God for all of you. Thank God for being here today. For this is, in fact, the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Let me start out with just a couple of remarks. First, a special thanks to my sister and friend, Sister Kim Young. Amen. We thank God for her, for reaching out. I'm so excited about the work she's doing, in terms of improving our health. So glad that she's working with the LLS Foundation and that she thought of us to come over here and to share that information. And so we thank God for her being with us today. She's also dear to me, not only her, but her entire family. Cannot say the name Young without thinking about the Young family, Elder Norman Young, Evangelist Carolyn Young, wonderful people. They were great blessing, not only in my life, to my sister's life, my brother's life, but my family's, my mom and dad. And so we just thank God for the Young family. Amen. Her sister Rondalyn Ingram, thank God for her, her family and her husband, just everybody. And if her face looks familiar, that's because for years we have fellowshiped together. They were formerly known as Shekinah Revival Temple with Pastor Doris Williams. But now they have merged and they're known as the Prolific Praise Worship Center with my dear friend is Pastor Brian Mincer. Amen. And so we thank God for them. Thank God that we have a chance to connect again with that ministry. And I can't, and for me personally, I can't think of PPWC or Shekinah without thinking about my dear friend and brother in the Lord, and that is Elder Aaron Williams, my dear friend. And I thank God for him as well. So, amen. So, let's thank God for all of the wonderful information. One of the things I like about the way ministry has evolved is because church is such a gathering place, whether in person or online, it becomes a wonderful opportunity to share helpful information. Why? Because we're all here, you know, not running, not gunning. We're here and we have a captive audience, a captive attention. And I thank God for ministries that use that to provide helpful information. Amen. And so, again, I just want to thank God for her coming. I want to thank God for the Women's History Month and the women that are being celebrated each and every day. One other thing I want to say about that helpful information, and especially health information. I think one thing we can all say as a result of this pandemic, regardless of how you feel about it, right, wrong, you know, it doesn't even matter. Just we've been in a pandemic, and if you don't know that, I don't know how you don't know that. But we've been in it. I think we can all agree that this pandemic has caused each and every one of us to become more conscious and aware of our own personal health. And if you're not more conscious and more aware, you should be. And I'm not just talking about as it relates to COVID-19. I'm just talking about our health in general. You follow me? You know what I mean? And she was listing those conditions. As your health goes down, you become more susceptible to a variety of sicknesses and disease that could be cured simply by taking better care of your own health. You follow what I'm saying? And that is such an important reminder for us, especially now when we live in a day and age where everything is online and we're streaming, which simply means we're sitting on our behinds more and more hours during the day. And if you don't get up and walk or exercise or do something, your health is steadily declining. And then you wonder, why am I sick? Why am I in the hospital? Why am I this? Why am I that? And so, again, I think we can all agree coming out of this that each and every one of us have to begin to monitor and improve our health as we continue to age. Amen? And so we thank God for that. Then one last thing, and we'll turn our attention to the Word of God. I really am thankful that for this past Thursday, for all of you that tuned in to the Interfaith Bible study that we had this past Thursday with Rabbi Earl Bowen from Temple Beth El, Rabbi David Strauss from Mainline Reformed Temple, and there was also a guy who looked like me. You may not believe it, it wasn't me, Shanita, but he favored me. And so this morning, I want to say a special, special thank you to Pastor Dow Scott, who filled in for me at the last minute. Just as the week went, I was called out of town on business. The workload was extremely heavy in terms of what we had to get done, and there was no way I could participate. So what was that night? I ended up working that night, and I just couldn't do it. And if I could tell you the number of weeks, probably months, that went into planning this event, and even before we ended up with the Interfaith Bible Study, we were actually going to get together as all three congregations and celebrate Passover. That's what we wanted to do, but obviously with COVID and all this other stuff, obviously we couldn't pull it off this year, so we have to kick that. They said, well, what can we do? And so the rabbis and I got together and said, let's have an Interfaith Bible Study, and let's look at Passover, Communion, and Easter from the two perspectives, from a Jewish and Judaism perspective, and also from a Christian perspective. And we put a lot of planning went in it. You saw how the event was and all the stuff that it was just a lot went into pulling it off. And so I felt terrible that here I am on the night, the day before, the hours before, I couldn't participate. And in order to have the event not fall apart, I called on really the only person I knew I could call on in that type of situation and said, here it is. Blah, 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 blah. I gave a minimum instruction. I said, look, whatever you do, pray first and then get on that Zoom. I don't care what you say. I don't care how you say it, but pray first and get on that Zoom call. So but he filled in and he did a great job. He did a great job because the comments are still coming in. The comments, I wasn't on the Zoom. I don't know what he said, but the feedback from the event that are still coming in on Friday and over the weekend, the Reverend Scott did an outstanding job along with the two rabbis. And so I would be remiss if I didn't take time to thank him for doing that for me. I really, really appreciate it. I hope he's listening in. I told him I would shout him out. I also want to thank all of you guys for joining in, getting in on that Zoom, we're tying it into a part of our Holy Week celebration, Easter celebration. It's a little bit earlier, but this is the only place where we could fit it in. And it was important, and the reason why I wanted all of us there, because to understand fully Christianity, you must understand Judaism. Christianity is born out of Judaism. You follow what I'm saying? The Bible even tells us that the Old Testament is our schoolmaster. That's where you learn the foundation of it. And so what a wonderful opportunity for us to commingle our faith and our belief and learn from them their great history that they have. And they can learn from us what we love and celebrate about Christ and the resurrection in terms of Christianity. So what, again, helpful information. Not what we had here today was helpful information about our physical health. What you experienced on Thursday night was helpful information about your spiritual health. Are you with me on that? And so, again, just a job well done to everybody, Pastor Scott, Sister Kim, everybody who's been a part of that this past week in terms of making everything go. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. Amen? And with that, let's turn our attention to the Word of God. We're going to be in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 1. I don't know about you, but it seems like we've been in chapter 1 a long time. Good night. I hope the other chapters are shorter. Lord, have mercy. Chapter 1, and our key verses are going to be 29 through 31. So I want you to get that. And then we're going to add to the witness out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 27 and 28. So this Sunday, we're in the New Testament. Our primary text is going to be Mark 1, 29 to 31. We're going to add to the witness 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 28. If you have that, I'm going to invite you to stand with me in honor of the Word of God, whether you're here in the sanctuary. I know some folks have gone upstairs to the overflow. I'm going to ask you to stand there as well. If you're at home in your slippers and your pajamas and you have a bagel with cream cheese and coffee on your nightstand, I'm going to invite you to stand with us as well. I hate to interrupt your comfortable position, but we stand in honor of the Word of God. So this is what I want you to do. Our primary text is, again, Mark 1, 29 to 31, 2 to 3 verses. But so I don't have to read it later, I'm going to read Mark 1, 21 down to and including verse 35. I'm going to read all of that. I'm going to sit down in 29 to 31, but I want to read it because it's going to be helpful to today's message. Okay? And I'm not going to work it long because I touched on this a little bit last Sunday, but there's some good stuff here and I want to make sure we get it. Okay? So if you have it, Mark 1, and again, I'm going to start at 21 and read down. It says, then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. Okay? This is the Sabbath we're talking about. They were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Now, there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet, come out of him. When the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, came out of him. And then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came, took her by the hand, he lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Now, at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. In fact, the whole city was gathered together at the door. And then he healed many who were sick with various diseases, cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Verse 35, now in the morning, That's all I want. Now, in the morning, what I want you to get is everything that I just read one day. He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he did all of this. He preached, he taught, cast out a demon in the synagogue, went home, went to Peter's house, got there, found out Pete's mother-in-law was sick, healed her of the fever. Follow what I'm saying? The crowds, having heard and seen what he did at the synagogue, now came to Peter's house after church, to the point where Jesus now had to come out of Peter's house and not to preach again. They wanted him to heal them. So he healed what? Many of them, cast out more demons. Verse 35 said, then in the morning. I'm going to take advantage of you while you're standing. Every now and then, folks always, not everybody, but folks interested in a preaching ministry, pastor, and whatever, they always are interested, especially young preachers. What is it like to be a pastor? What is it like to be a preacher? So whatever questions they have, I try my best to answer. And then, I always want to know, what is Sundays like? Because that's the big day. There's only 2 days in the life of a preacher. It's only 2 days, Saturday night and Sunday morning. There's no other days in the week for a preacher. Only 2 days that if you ask a preacher what they did on Monday, they can't tell you. What did you do? I don't know. All I know is Saturday night and Sunday morning. The key is do your work so that when you get to Saturday night, you at least get to go to sleep. If not, you got to sit on. Well, whatever. You're not. If you were a preacher, you would appreciate what I'm saying. Anyway, they say, what is it like to be a preacher, pastor? I tell for on this is a typical Sunday for me. You get up early, earlier than usual. I'm an early guy. You get up earlier than usual on Sunday because that's you're going to preach. You're going to minister. Get up early. Want to spend time in prayer. You want to get settled. You go back over what you have prepared all week. Read it again. It's nothing like looking at what you have written with fresh eyes. Because while you're writing it, you just, after a while, it's just, you don't even know what it is. But you sit it down on Friday night, just leave it alone, spend time with your family. You come back somewhere, you get fresh eyes. You look and you see, oh man, this. Look, if you look at my notes now, I got something crossed out. Because when I read it this morning, that don't even make sense. So now, that's what fresh eyes. So I get up early, boom, boom, boom. Then it's the whole family brigade, the church. You got to get up. You gotta get the kids up. You gotta be patient. Gotta wait for your wife. You know, all that stuff. Somebody gotta get something to eat. That ain't a blather. That's husbands. What do we do? Our number one occupation as a husband is what? Wait for your wife. I had a good friend of mine tell me that early. We were going to church. The guest preacher, I brought him in town. He was staying with us. He said, stay with us. Don't stay in the hotel. We're gonna hang out, do all that stuff. And we were ready to go to church. He was coming to minister, and I was anxious. I was like, come on. I was trying to get Jermaine to hurry. And this is even before we had kids. I was trying to get Jermaine to hurry. He said, Ford, he said, just sit down and wait. He had been married 8 years already. He said, I'm telling you, that right there, what you're doing now, is going to kill you. Watch this. And she's not going to go any faster. He said, look, there's room on this sofa for me and you. He said, sit right here. That's what we do. On Sunday morning, we on the edge, get everybody's clothes, dress, everybody, all that. You wait, you finally get to church. When you get to church, as much as you try to, train your staff around you to know, whatever you do on Sunday morning, don't bring me anything. Matter of fact, I don't even get upset if people don't speak to me on Sunday morning. Because again, a preacher, Sunday morning, all you're doing is preaching your sermon all the way to church. Over, work on your introduction. How you going to close it out? Remember the 3 verses that I keep you. That's all you're doing. So it's actually better if no one speaks to you, but whatever. You tell people, when I get you, I don't want nobody, don't come in my office. Not that I'm being unsocial. I want to be prepared to minister. But inevitably, when you get to church on Sunday, what happened? Everybody want to come see the look, before service, not after. Hey, can I? You don't want to be nice, whatever. So So all of that. Now you finally get up to preach. Preaching and teaching under the anointing is a physically exhausting exercise. I'm just telling you that, if you don't know. To minister under the anointing is a physically exhausting exercise. And I'm helping you realize that today by standing with me. All y'all looking at me, come on, Pastor. We need to. I wore these heels because it was women's month. Come on, Pastor. Tell this when it's men's month or something. So you got all that. So you minister under the anointing. You work the prayer line, do all that afterwards. You greet the people, all that. You know what I do when I go home? Jermaine's not with me. I get in the bed and take a nap. Ask my kids. My boys are here this Sunday. I go home, get a shower, get a snack. Jermaine's not going to be ready. I go upstairs, and hopefully there's a sporting event on because I like watching sports because I don't have to think. I can just sit there like a bump on the log. And inevitably, in about 10, 15, 20 minutes, I'm out. That's a typical day in a pastor's or preacher's life. You carried all that anxiety in your body. You get it all out when you're preaching. Then you got to work, because like Jesus, you got to heal the sick. You got to cast out demons. You got to answer this one, call this one, all this one. And then when you get home, you just want to just collapse. And that's what I do every Sunday. Are you with me? I'm telling you this because it's going to help you with what I'm going to teach today. Okay? All of that he did in one day on the Sabbath. Are you with me? If you got it, say I got it. 1 Corinthians 12. Here it is. I'm going to get you off your feet. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 28. Now, you are the body of Christ. And members individually. You guys with me on that? We are, all of us make up the body of Christ. But like the Roman writer teaches us, though we are one body, yet we are what? Many members. I got one body, but I got two hands. I got 10 fingers, 2 elbows. You see what I'm saying? I got one body, but I got all these parts that make it up. Are you with me? Here it is. God has appointed these in the church or these in the body of Christ. Here it is. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, gifts of helps, gifts of administration, and varieties of tongues. Okay? And that, when I teach you on the spiritual gifts, I always tell people, that is not an exhaustive list. That is a sampling of the gifts. Not all of them. But in order to bring his point forward, that those are only the gifts that Paul chose to mention at that point in his writing. Okay? So good. So let me pray and get you off your feet. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence. Above all, thank you for your people, the people of God. Impart unto us the truth, wisdom, and understanding that can only come from God himself. This we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated all over the church. Now, I need you to pay attention, okay? Because it's not going to take long, but if you don't listen, you'll miss it, okay? One of the least talked about and often most underappreciated spiritual gifts is the gift of helps. One of the least talked about and often most underappreciated spiritual gift is the gift of helps. Helping in the body of Christ can take a variety of forms. Some see the gifts of helps as given to those who are willing to lend a hand and do even the most mundane and disagreeable tasks with a spirit of humility and grace. Helpers are often those who volunteer to work regularly around the church, maybe its facilities and its grounds, often laboring in obscurity. Others see helping as assisting with the widows, possibly elderly or families that are in need. And they accomplish daily tasks by coming alongside to render service in those areas where help is often needed. These helpers render a gift of service in the broadest sense, assisting and supporting the body of Christ. But there is also a spiritual aspect to the gift of helps. And it is perhaps even more important than the practical or physical aspect of the gift of help. Those with the spiritual gift of helps have been given the unique ability to identify those who are struggling with doubt, fears, and other internal spiritual battles. They move toward those in spiritual need with a kind word, an understanding and compassionate demeanor, and the unique ability to speak scriptural truth in convicting and yet loving fashion. Their words, as the preacher says in Proverbs 25 and 11, their words are like apples of gold set in silver settings. And their words they use to speak to the spiritually weak and weary. These helpful Christians can quell anxiety in the downtrodden heart with cheerful and confidently spoken words of truth and joy. Praise God for giving the gifts of helps to special individuals who can come alongside others with mercy, grace, and love. These precious saints can lift the heart by helping to carry a variety of burdens that we cannot and should not carry alone. Lastly, the gifts of help. It is also a gift that can be taken advantage of by others who will exploit a person's servant heart to get out of their own responsibilities. I'm going to say it again. Speaking about the gifts of help, it is also a gift that can be taken advantage of by others who will exploit a person's servant heart to get out of their own responsibilities. Let that not be said of anyone listening to today's message. Are you with me? Here it is. If you're writing notes, take this down. I believe, this is me, Pastor Ford, personal opinion. I believe the spiritual gift of helps is within every believer. I believe the spiritual gift of helps is within every believer. Okay? So this is not one of those gifts you can look at and say, oh, she got it, but he don't. Oh, they do that because they have that gift. I don't have that gift. No. Again, I'm just telling you, I believe the gifts of help is within every believer. And I believe I can prove my point. John 14 and 16 says this. This is Jesus. He said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. that he may abide with you forever. Who is this helper? The Spirit of truth. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. How do you know him? For he dwells within you and will be with you. Are you with me in this? Every believer, every born again, blood washed believer who by faith has accepted Christ as their Savior, receive at the moment of salvation the indwelling presence of the Spirit of truth, who Jesus called a helper. Your translation may say comforter, but by God's design, the Holy Spirit is a helper. Are you with me in this? So the helper, a comforter, you heard me in what I said before, is one that is called alongside to help. The Greek word used is parakletos. The parakletos, the Holy Spirit, the helper or comforter, whose job is to come alongside you and help you. That Holy Spirit lives in you. And if you will submit to him by walking by faith, walking in the Spirit and not by flesh, he is going to prompt you, your spirit man is going to prompt your physical man to do what? Come alongside and help. That's what he's going to do. Are you with me? So you have the and, it also says in there that this helper, he's coming, that he will abide with you forever. Abide has to do with permanent residence in believers. So this spirit, this Spirit of truth, who is designed to come alongside and help, does not only work on Sundays. He's 24/7, 365. He abides with you forever. Wherever you go, wherever you do, the Holy Spirit, who Jesus called, not a pastor, Jesus said, he's a helper, abides in you permanently. Are you with me? Did I prove my point? I'm going to say it again. I believe every believer has the gift of helps. Here it is. If you're writing notes, take this down. This is important. I don't want any believer or Christian to think or feel that they do not have anything to give or do in the kingdom of God. Are you with me on that? If you are in the body, and you are not fulfilling your function, something's not working right. Because every believer has something they can give or do to cause the body to meet its goal. You follow what I'm saying? You got to understand that. You've got something to give. And I want to come against this because we got so many people coming in, especially into the church, and some are even coming into the body of Christ. And everyone, not everyone, let me say it right, a lot of folks are coming in now. They're not saints. They are professional cheerleaders. As long as you do it, I'm here. Whatever you do, Pastor, don't call on me. Hey, I need someone to, I'm not a speaker, Pastor. I didn't ask you to speak. I just asked you to come over here, read and pray. Can you do that? And if you can't, what are you doing at home? Because I hope at home you're reading and praying. Right? Hey, I need somebody, someone's got to get down there and cut that grass. Oh, Pastor, wait a minute. You live on 2 acres. And every time I come by, your lawn is manicured. But yet I can't get you to come in. Everybody's got something they can do or give. Now, I didn't say it's something you might like to do or give, but there's something you can give to further the body. Are you with me in this? Now, if this is too much, tell me to stop. I'll quit. Okay. All right. You said it. I gave you an out. I gave them an out, Kim. We could have been out, but they, all right. Don't let my dad speak for y'all. My dad, I have us here till tomorrow sometime. Here it is. I'm going to read. Now, I'm going to sink down. This is what we're at. 29:31. Come out of the synagogue, enter Simon and Andrew's house. Peter's mother-in-law is sick with a fever. They tell Jesus. Verse 31, he came, took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. Most people who look at this verse and seek to teach it or expound on it, focus on that. The way my gift works, when I read that, I immediately went to the last sentence. The last sentence said, and she served them. We skip over that because that's, well, whatever. This is Jesus. He lifted her up. I mean, I've heard some. He turned me all around, set my feet on. I mean, they go out. It's a revival. They go out on that. But yet the most important part of the verse is not what Jesus did. One of these days, I'm going to get a real church. I'm going to preach until my church comes. A lot of people love, because we love, I told you this the other Sunday, we love Jesus on the cross. Because as long as Jesus is on the cross, I don't have to be. As long as they keep jabbing him in his side, as long as they keep putting thorns on his head, Pastor, I'm with you. But the moment they take him down and the cross is now empty, now I can't get anybody to call me back. They got caller ID now. They used to have to answer the phone. Now, swipe right. Not today, Pastor. I'm going out tonight. You're not call. The Lord bless you, Pastor. The Lord be with you and all your anointing. The most important thing in that verse is not what Jesus did. But yet if we preach this sermon 9 times out of 10, that's what the preachers focus on. The most important part, watch this, is not only what she did, but when she did it. I'm finished. Here it is. What Peter's mother-in-law gave was critical. Jesus preached, cast out unclean spirits in the synagogue, healed Peter's mother-in-law. Later, he healed many who were sick, various diseases, unclean spirits, demons, cast them out well into the night. Again, it's the Sabbath, so they couldn't come until the sun went down, because according to Jewish law, there can be no work on the Sabbath. So they had to wait until 6 o'clock. And guess where they were waiting? In Peter's front yard. They did not. They waited till 6. That was okay, Sabbath. But we're going to bring all of our sick cousins, all of our sick family members, all of the family members we don't talk about, but we just wait till Sunday to bring them down the aisle and say, pray for him, pray for her. At 6 o'clock, they looked out their window and there were hundreds, maybe thousands, waiting in Peter's. And here's the sad thing. Peter had just cut his grass. Just got the seed laid down. Here they are. Whatever. Look at somebody say, the pastor's preaching now. Shanita, I'm preaching now. All right, here it is. Let me wrap it up. I'm out of time. Here it is. Here it is. What she provided to the, listen, the body of Christ. Work the body. I'm talking in a literal sense. She served the body of Jesus. She fed Jesus. I just told you, preaching is what? An exhaustive exercise. She feeds the man of God. But watch this. Not only him. She serves the body of Christ. Guess who came home with Jesus? Peter. Andrew. Listen to this. Two jokers came who she didn't even know. James and John. But because she had the gift of health, she served everybody in the house. She provided what the body of Christ needed, not only for that moment, but for what was yet to come. Here it is. Here's a question. Imagine. Now, I haven't read the whole story. Imagine Peter's mother-in-law. It's by the hand, lifts her up. Fever leaves her. Healed. Imagine if Peter's mother-in-law would have said this. Rabbi, thank you for healing me. I don't know what it was. I went to bed fine last night. Woke up this morning and I felt like a bulldozer hit me. I couldn't even get out of the bed. Thank you for healing me. Now that you have healed me, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take the rest of the day off. Listen, Rabbi, I got to go to work in the morning. All right? Tomorrow morning, the kids got to be on Zoom by 8:30. Okay? So I'm just going to take the rest of the Sabbath off. I need time to recover. I'm glad you healed me, but I just, the rest of the day. All right? I'm just going to take the rest of the day off. Now, you know the story. Imagine had, now, not only if she had done it, but if she had done it, none of us could have laid claim to it. Why? Because many of us would have done what? Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't get yourself in trouble. They got it out on the internet, so don't say it. With stuff on the internet, you got to watch what you say. So don't say it. I'm just, watch this. Other folks would have. Not us. Not us. Not us. We good Christians. Not us. Here it is. I'm going to give you this. I got to. Here it is. John 9:4. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. Here it is. Here's the killer. While it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. Peter's mother-in-law must have learned this in Sunday school. She said, if I take the rest of the day off, if I take the rest of the time given to me where I could be using my spiritual gift, I don't have an excuse now because I've been healed. Healed to help, save, to serve. My gift is needed right now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not after you get married. Not after your kids get out of school. But the body needs my gift right now. I got to get these pajamas off. Get my work clothes on and trust in the healing Christ has given me. Why? Peter's mother-in-law said, I've been saved to serve. That's what he saved me for. And my body has been healed so that I can provide help to the body of Christ. Wish I had my real church this Sunday. Kim, you remember this. Because you guys know all the good church songs. We don't sing it anymore, but we used to sing it. We used to say, get your time in. Because payday is coming after a while. We go out, oh my God, we go out on that. We have revival on that. Get your time in. Why? Payday's coming. Here it is. Revelation 22:12. I'm giving it to you. Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me. I got it in my hand. When I show up, I'm going to have your reward in my hand. Your reward will be based on, I'm going to give every man according as his work, her work shall be. So every day you waste, every hour you let slip by, you reduce the heavenly reward that is waiting for you because you fail to realize that he died. He saved you in order to serve him. He healed you so that you can help the body. But because we fail to understand the word of God and the importance of timing in the kingdom, so many in the body go lacking because of the absence of your gift. Watch this. Because you were tired. Now I got to fight demons on my own. Praying to God, send me some help. Send me some deliverance. And when I prayed that prayer to him, he called you. He saved you. He healed your body. And he did those things because what? He's got spiritual authority. He's got physical authority. He said, Shanita, what you need, I've given to her. The only thing that's needed is for her to take the gift that has been God given. And now, watch it, come alongside you who are in trouble, in need, need a hand, need assistance. Bring your gift. And come alongside. I wish I had a real church. I preach this. But because you spend over 6 hours per day on social media, but because you binge watch, not on the weekend, but during the week, day, you binge watch 12 episodes an hour each all day long. She goes wanting. All you had to do was pick up the phone. All you had to do was send a text. And if you would have done it, she would have responded and would have said, pray for me right now. The devil is on, he's right, not tomorrow, not Friday night when we get on, don't put my name on no prayer list. I need you to intercede for me right now. Peter's mother-in-law got up and started cooking right now. Why? The weight of the world was getting ready to fall on Jesus. And though he was the Son of God, he was yet the son of a man. Flesh and bones. He needed food.
to be able to do what God had called him to do. But to do it, he needed you. Where were you? He said, when I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. When I hungered, you never offered me bread. What I needed, the Father gave you. The only thing he required of you. The Bible says this. We've got to learn to watch and pray. A lot of people, as pastors, we focus so much on getting you to pray. We never teach you to watch. What are you watching for? The prompting of the Holy Spirit. I need you right now. I'm going to tell you something. Everything does not flow through the pastor. You know what I tell people this? You know what I love as a pastor? That by the time the news gets to me, you guys already worked it out. You tell me in retrospect what has been done. Pastor, I knew you were out of town this week. I knew you had a work emergency. This happened. This came up. This broke down. But we knew you were out, so we handled it. I called Deacon so-and-so. I got him on that. I called the women's committee. I said, y'all take care of that. I got a friend of mine. He don't even go to our church. I said, man, I need you to come and do me and take care of that. Pastor, now that you're back, it's Saturday. I know you got to preach tomorrow. I want to tell you what came up. And I want to tell you how I handled it. You want to modify or change anything, that's fine. But the weight of it never hit you. You know why? Anybody know why? She told you why. She stood up here and said, I've had a hard week. I'm not making this up. You are all eyewitness. She said, I have had a hard week. And I need a word from God. That's what she said. If I'm telling the truth, raise your hands. She said that. Now imagine if all of that weight hit me under the week I'm already having. I would have got up here weak, depleted, no anointing, no audible authority, no spiritual authority, no physical authority. But because Christ healed you and you got up immediately and began to serve the body, I can now preach with a fresh anointing. I can now command demonic spirit, get out of here. I can now do physical healing by the power and blood of Jesus Christ. All because you were saved to serve. I can now do what I have to do today because you did what you had to do yesterday. And the kingdom of God is made stronger. Here it is. I'm finished. Watch this. By what every joint supplies. You're the joint. I'm the joint. And the body only works best when we all give what Christ has given us to minister to the body. If you got it, say, I got it. If you got it, say, I got it. If you believe it, say, I've been saved to serve. And And I have been healed to help. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm not taking another Sunday off. I'm not taking another Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. My lunch hour no longer belongs to me. If you call, I'll be there. You text me, I'll respond. You need someone to go into intercession with you right now. I'm the one to call. Why? I got the gifts of help. I can come alongside you. Listen, they never tell us her name. Read the text. It's not Mrs. Peter. She's a nameless, faceless woman. Yet, she was critical on that day to enable Jesus and his disciples to do what they were called to do. I know why Jesus healed her. He said, I'm going to raise you up because I need you right now. If it could wait, I would wait. Look, they called Jesus and said, Lazarus is dead. He said, okay, I'll get there. Let me finish. I got another revival. After I take a revival, I'm going to take a day. I'm going to nap. Then I'll. Did you hear what we said? Like, whom you loveth, he just died. All right, I'll be there. Maybe after the weekend, but I'll get there. Keep him in the grave till I. But when it came to Peter's mother-in-law, Jesus said, everybody out. I need this woman right now. She's got a gift that I need right now. I know what's coming. The Father's already showed me. But because I'm in a physical body, I'm going to need physical strength. And I need somebody who has the gift to come alongside and minister to me. And I need it right now. Shall we all stand? I've been saved to serve. I've been healed in my body and healed in my spirit so I can help the body of Christ right now. My prayer today for the body of Christ, for all of Taylor Nation, is that you receive this message. Every now and then folks call me and say, you know what, Pastor, that message was for me. Today I need all, don't call me, email me or text me. But I need everybody, if you're watching it, text me, call me, get on the web, tell me, say, Pastor, that message was for me. The message I preach today for every believer. Why? Because I believe every believer has the gift of health inside of them. And I've already proven it. Question now is, what are you going to do about it? You're going to continue to find excuses. I can't, COVID. Can't, haven't been tested. Can't, haven't had my shot. Can't, my second shot. Can't, got to go to work. Can't, kids. Can't, companion. Can't, this. Can't, that. Pastor, I would, but can't. You got to, now you're at the crossroads. Now you got to make a decision. Because now what? I've given you the word of God. Now it's between you and him. I've done my job. The Bible said, he that knoweth not my will and doeth it not, beat him with a few stripes. That's not you anymore. Now you know his will. It's been given to you. Taught, made plain. Now you've got to, am I going to do what the word of God says do? Or am I going to continue the way I've always been? Choice is now yours. Our God and our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. Our prayer today is simply this, that your will be done not only in the earth, but in these our earthen vessels, even as it is done in heaven. Even as the angels respond instantly, so let me, in my body, in my gift, in like manner, respond instantly at the calling and moving of the Holy Spirit. This is our prayer. We ask it today in the name of your beloved Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you, Taylor.
Amen. Thank you for the word. Thank you. Let's remember to ignite that gift of help during the week. And don't forget to answer the pastor's phone calls. Pastor, that time when I didn't answer, I wasn't ignoring you. It won't happen again, okay? So now we're going to transition to our giving offering. Okay. So good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of three ways that include text to give, online giving through our website, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code Taylor61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. For those gathered in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for your tithes offering and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the basket as you exit the sanctuary. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. Amen. Now we will have our announcement by our sister Anita Butler. Say amen, amen as she comes.
What a word. God, you can use me at any given time. I'm ready. Okay, the announcements for today. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us for reopening of the church. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. In response to the city of Philadelphia's most recent restriction on religious service, we are now limited to 16 people in the sanctuary and 20 people on the third floor overflow. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you had contact with anyone who had COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay home. Additionally, the church van service is suspended until further notice. Please keep this in mind so that we can plan your transportation accordingly. Prayer and Bible study, Friday nights at 7:30. March 28th is Palm Sunday. Call to salvation. If you would like to receive Christ Jesus today, please repeat after me. Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I am trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that his shed blood, death, and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving and forgiving me for my sins today. Amen. If you accepted this call to salvation today, please visit our website, www.taylortabernacle.com, and go to our Contact Us page and check the box, I am. Interested in becoming a Christian? Leave us a short message along with your contact information, and someone from our staff will contact you to discuss the next steps in your Christian journey. If you have prayer requests, please visit our website, www.taylortabernacle.com, and go to our prayer request page or call our church at 215-748-4578 and leave a voicemail so we can respond to you. Remember to hit the subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us a new email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you.
God bless you, Taylor. Shall we all stand? My apologies to everyone. I know I went way over time. I know you want to make the Sunday hop, 9 o'clock, Apostle so-and-so, 10, you're here with us, 11, you're with Bishop so-and-so, noon, Evangelist so-and-so. I know I messed you up, but look, Lillian will do better next Sunday. I can't promise what I'll do, but the preacher next Sunday, I guarantee, will do better than what I've done. Come on, shall we look to the Lord? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, your family, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, everybody everywhere, shout amen. God bless you, Taylor Nation. God bless you.